Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Dance Parent Podcast. It's Jake and Jana. Thanks so much again for joining us this week.
And we are really excited about this one. Today, we are going to be sharing some thoughts from Lauren Ritchie. And if you don't know who she is a dance educator that's also a mindset coach, basically. Yeah. And she calls herself a mental performance and skills educator. But she has a lot of great information.
Great stuff.
Out there for dancers, for parents. You should definitely check her out on Instagram. She's Lauren M. Ritchie. And today we're going to be talking about, she had a post that was 5 thoughts for dancers to help get you through the season. And I think that this has a lot of wonderful points. For dancers, I think this would be a great one to let your kids listen to as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's great for parents to know these things too.
So we thought we'd just kind of go through them and unpack them and kind of give our thoughts to them, but give all credit to her because this is just a really great post and we felt like we needed to share this with our audience. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, you cannot be your best without rest.
And we've talked about this recently in the Protecting Your Dancer's Physical Health episode, but I really like some of what she says here, and that's, you're not a machine. You are a living, growing, adapting, and transforming human who requires 9 to 11 hours of sleep in order to learn, regulate, train, and perform at your best. And I think that we have so many kids that forget this and think, no, I am a machine and I can do all things and I don't need to rest. But they won't be able to dance and perform at their best without that rest. She goes on to say, there's no substitute for sleep. Prioritize it like your life depends on it, because it does. And then she also says, rest can also include rest from screens, rest from consuming content, rest from comparison, rest from self-criticism and judgment. Mm. And my gosh, I think that applies to all of us, not just dancers, right?
Yeah.
But coming from a dance teacher that has been sick and totally lost her voice this week because we went straight from convention weekend to picture weekend to
recital prep to all the things.
None of us are machines. And if they don't rest, then they're going to get sick, right? As I just did. And then they're missing class more. And then they're upset that they're not achieving the things. So taking care of their bodies and getting rest from the outset is so, so important.
I just like that the things that she lists at the bottom of this slide, which is, I think sometimes we think like rest has to be, I'm sleeping or I'm like laying down. Mm-hmm. And it's not. Like sometimes it's just that mental rest of giving yourself margin, right? I mean, sure, rest from screens. We all know that we all need some time from those, but rest from self-criticism and judgment. Rest from just consuming content. I mean, I'm guilty of this, but how often do you just literally sit and do nothing or go outside and just like chill out? You know, I think that's so good for their mind,
rest.
For their body, all the things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the next point on here is point number 2. Oh, I love this one. Rehearse from respect, not fear. So I think it can be so easy, and she says this, for dancers to fall into the trap of practicing because your teacher will be mad if you don't, or you'll get in trouble if you don't know it, or you'll get in trouble if you miss class. But she says, I'm inviting you to rehearse from a place of respect. Respect the choreographer and the artistic process of building choreography. Review the choreography so you feel confident and strong in the work. When I see dancers make this mental shift, and it can happen younger, it can happen older, but I feel like it happens around that junior age a lot. When it goes from, I'm rehearsing it so that my dance teacher's proud, or so that I can get this award, or so that it looks this way, and it changes to, I'm rehearsing it in a way so that I feel good about doing it as the dancer, everything changes, like giant game changer for them. She also says, honor your teammates and your immeasurable contribution to the team. This is huge,
right? I was gonna say, that one's huge.
Even for those that don't go on well, those that do go on to dance and those that don't, being able to create something wonderful with a group of people is just a necessary and vital skill. And it's a learned skill. I don't think it's something that we all just do naturally. So dance can be one of the best ways of learning that. She also says, study the movement from a place of curiosity and joy.
I love this one. I love this one because I feel like it's so much more than just regurgitating information, right? From a place of curiosity and joy of how does this feel in my body? How am I growing as I'm learning somebody else's movement that didn't originate from within me? You know, and then what does that come out with my seasoning and sprinkling on it?
And how far can I push the limits of that movement?
Without a doubt, yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this some too, but just you look at dance videos of what was like winning all the things 10 years ago and look at it now, and it's so different. But it's so different because people pushed those limits and studied it from a place of curiosity, not from a place of fear that it must be as good as this one. But they did it from a place of what are the limits and how far can it go?
For sure. We were just talking about this quote tonight that I love, which I think is from John Maxwell, the great like leadership expert who's written a ton of books on it. But he always says, when you can go from the place of how quickly until I get there to how far can I go, that is when a huge shift in the mindset can really take place. Because so often we go, how long is it going to take? How long until I get this? How long until I can achieve this? How long until I get promoted? Whatever. Instead of, how far can I take this? Mm-hmm. How far can this thing go? You know?
Yep, absolutely. And then at the end of this one, she says, you don't have to rehearse. You get to rehearse. Mm-hmm. And you get to be a part of an incredible process. And I think, obviously, all these kids love dancing, right? If your kids didn't love dancing, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast to find ways to help them achieve all the things. But for sure, when it becomes a have to rehearse versus you get to rehearse, they're not going to get the same results.
And I think we all experienced that, right? two or three years ago with the whole pandemic. But my goodness, just being in a garage or in your living room or whatever by yourself when you're not with other human beings doing what you all are passionate about, it was such an eye-opening experience, even for an adult, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, to make sure that we remember and be grateful for what we all have the opportunity to do today, that's just important.
Mm-hmm. Then we have point number 3, which is, I could go on about this one for a while, but your energy directly impacts the room.
Preach.
So she says, and we've seen this too. She says, I've given the same presentations to different groups. Some sessions were vibrant, engaging, and fun. Others were heavy, flat, and hard. I did not change. The dancers did. So she's bringing in the same material, but the way that goes can be totally different depending on the energy of the dancers in the room. And I've heard guest choreographers say this time and time again. I've seen them come into our studio and it go incredibly, right? And they say, oh my gosh, I just loved that process. I've also seen choreographers come into our studio or guest teachers and say they felt guarded. And also, sometimes this was with the same group of dancers. So just the energy they bring in, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person if you bring in wrong energy one day. And it doesn't mean that you're always going to have the right energy, but that should be the goal.
And to have that in your mind that you have that sort of power over your world, that like how you come in and approach in a situation or an environment directly impacts the result most of the time.
Mm-hmm. She goes on to say, you are powerful beyond measure. Whether it's high vibes or strong resistance, teachers and choreographers can't help but feel it and be affected by it. And it happens often. I feel it in class as well.
Yeah, I feel like weekly.
I've talked to our dancers some about this, and I say it's kind of like when you're doing watercolors or like painting when you're little, and you can't take the blue paint and then dip it in the water and then take the red paint and dip it in the water and think that it's just going to stay blue, right? bringing a different color changes the room. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if you're in a room of 50, if you're bringing negative energy, it will impact the vibe of that room. And on the flip side, you can walk into a room that's having like low vibes. And sometimes all it takes is one or two dancers bringing high vibes to change that entire room, entire process, you name it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen some of the coolest changes in classes when that kid who is just maybe having a great day walks in and everybody else is, you know, low vibe or tired or whatever. And then they walk in and it just changes. And you just go, man, one light can really just, you know, change the whole environment and feel of a room.
You bet. And I don't do it enough. I have teenage dancers that get real annoyed with me sometimes when I do. But inevitably they always come back like a week later and they're like, hey, thanks for that. But I'll send kids out of the room.
I was going to say, are you talking about that?
I do it a lot. If the energy that comes in isn't right, and not like get out of the room, don't come back, but go step out.
Try it again.
Come back in when you're ready to bring a different energy, because you owe it to the people around you, right? And I'm not saying that you always need to be at such a high energy level that like you can execute everything perfectly. I just mean kind of the attitude and the spirit that comes into the room, because those teenagers, they don't want to be in that low place either, right? Sometimes they just need someone to tell them, try again. Reset.
I've literally walked by, I think, your classroom before when they're all walking out. I'm like, what's up? They're like, she's making us come back in. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
But it's so worth it. It's so worth it. And yeah. I think once we do that enough times, then they're teenagers, right? So like, it's not going to be 100%, but they start to catch it themselves and self-correct a little more on it as well.
I think they help each other. I've watched them do it with each other. Like, no, don't bring that in here. Try again.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's been cool. It's been cool for sure. The next part that she has in this, your energy directly impacting the room, is when you show up with an open mind, generous spirit, and willingness to go for it, it changes everything. The energy of the room, the possibility for growth, what a teacher and choreographer can offer. So we always like to try to teach our students that like, you can only affect you, right? Like we're always telling our kids, you can affect what you can control, and you can control your mind, you can control your actions. But sometimes that directly affects, and lots of times it directly affects what they're getting back in return from those teachers and choreographers.
And then she finishes up with, choose the energy in which you want to train. Show up with that energy every day. Choose it, own it, be it. And I think the younger they can learn this and start working on it, the better for all things in life, all things.
The next one, her fourth one, is stress is part of being human.
And that's kind of lovely to hear, actually. No, she makes really great points on this. And I think it's important for kids to learn. I think
it's important for us as parents to hear.
Yes.
Honestly.
I think sometimes we worry that, we don't want the kids to be stressed about this. But it is a part of being human. So she says, it's true. And how you think about and speak about stress directly influences your perception of it. Are you viewing it as a challenge or a threat? I love that.
Yeah.
Stress is one of the building blocks of resilience. So I think all of us would agree, challenges are a great thing, and we want our kids to overcome challenges, right? But the only way they can overcome challenges is by being faced with challenges. And sometimes I think we can be quick, even as teachers, to feel like, I don't want to push them too hard on that. I don't want to challenge them. But they develop confidence by overcoming those challenges. Now, if they're feeling threatened regularly and viewing their stress as a threat, that's a different thing. But a lot of this comes back to mindset too. So normal fluctuating levels of stress aren't happening to us, but rather they are for us. I like that.
That's huge. Who says that? Somebody says, is that Tony Robbins? Life isn't happening to us, it's happening for us.
Jake knows all these great quotes.
I think it is. Anyways, that's great.
For our growth, for our confidence, and for our physical, mental, and emotional strength, we need stress. Too much threatening stress for too long requires support. Right. So we don't want kids feeling in this like chronic, threatened, scared place. That's not what we're going for here.
That's what I was going to say. Especially as long as a kid knows that they have a support around them, whether it's parents, teachers, friends, you know, all the things, all the people, stress is okay. I think it's when they feel on an island that it can become a very not productive thing.
For sure. And I think just that not being that fear-based stress,
yeah,
right? None of us want our kids living in a place of like constant fear. But the stress that comes from working toward your goals and pursuing your potential is the good stuff. Use that.
And I like that's the last thing that she wrote was use it. And I think that that can be such a cool thing for kids to learn, that like that can be the fuel to make an even bigger fire within you. You know, that can be what you take and use to propel you into the next phase or the next chapter.
Absolutely. And it's necessary to do so.
You bet. All right. Part five.
The last one. You matter. No matter who else is in the room, no matter the style or discipline, no matter where you are in the formation, no matter what your mood is that day, you have something to contribute to every space you enter. It's so true. Today, I was just setting a big piece on 30-something dancers for our recital finale. And man, I will tell you, you can feel the energy, sometimes in a great way, from a dancer that's in the back corner, and it changes the way, even as a teacher or choreographer, the way you feel. And you can feel that energy when it's not the same. And it doesn't matter where it is in the room.
You just gravitate to it.
It matters, right? And sometimes even the mistakes that dancers make can change the whole room. Sometimes it's, yeah, that was cool, let's do that. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I didn't think to talk about that that should be on this count, not this count, or that it goes this way, not this way. So it all matters. Our mistakes, our wins, our achievements, it's all necessary to build a good team together.
Yeah. And then she goes on to say, you have strengths, gifts, energy, and artistry that are all unique to you. She put that in bold. And I think it's even more important that we give that to our kids and our students in that kind of very emphatic, bold type, because it is true. And we get caught up in this game of comparison. We've talked about this in previous episodes that, you know, comparison is definitely the thief of joy a lot. But there is only one you. There's only one student, you know, that has all of these gifts that are unique to them. And I think them knowing that is paramount to their finding contentment and joy and their peace on this journey to be the best dancer they can be.
For sure. I've done this for years in some of my contemporary classes, and it's interesting to me, after doing it for years, I feel like I'm much happier with the results I get from kids right now than I was when I first started doing this. But I will ask students to write down or to just tell me three things that they know they need to work on or are struggles for them as a dancer. And it's fascinating. Usually the better the dancer they are, the more this goes in reverse of what you would think. But kids can tell you so quick what their three biggest flaws are or their three biggest challenges or three things they're working on. But then when I say, okay, now tell me three things that make you special or unique or just things that make you stand out as a dancer, how often, especially back when I did this years ago, it was hard. I mean, I would have 15-year-olds crying because they felt so uncomfortable owning what it was that made them unique and special. Well, that was off, right?
Right.
And so now we started doing this more and more as they're younger. And I think it's definitely making an impact, because once they're thinking about this when they're younger and before some of those walls are put up when they're teenagers, then they're still able to own it as they get older. In fact, I just did it maybe a couple months ago. And some of the things that dancers would say were really cool on owning what made them unique and special and different as a dancer. And it's not always just like my leg goes high, right? Like, sure, that can be it. But sometimes it was, I'm not afraid to move in weird ways that others are. Or I have really good ability to like move in different animalistic ways and like just really cool things that, yes, that makes you special and unique. And I think parents, it's probably important too that that's something in a conversation that you're encouraging as well of know what you need to work on. Like that's necessary too. We don't want to like overlook that because that's what we're training and working on. But knowing what makes you special, you got to know that too and own it. At the end of this one, she said, when you own your brilliance, you give all of us permission. Ooh, I love that. You give all of us permission to do the same. So I also think sometimes I'll get really nice dancers that struggle with the idea of going and taking front center in an audition or just the nature of dance of like being seen, right? And drawing attention to themselves. But if you flip that and go, when you own your brilliance, you give everyone around you permission to do the same and the encouragement that they can do that too. So instead of just seeing it as like me, 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 see it as keep sharing that light and that special thing you have and keep shining, she said.
That's what I was going to say is the sharing component. Because if you have something and that you've been given that is brilliant, unique, different, special to you, what a travesty if that doesn't get shared so that other human beings can enjoy that and can celebrate you for that. Like, I feel like that would be one of the biggest
tragedies.
Tragedies. Yeah.
To be to have dramatic all as we are as dancers. But yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at our laptop that we're recording this on and my iPhone that's right here so that I can look at all this stuff from Lauren Richie's page. What if Steve Jobs would have never shared the whole idea for Apple? Our world would look a lot different. So never be afraid to share your own brilliance and what makes you special.
Yep, without a doubt. So we encourage you to go and give her a follow, Lauren_M_Richie. But she's got a lot of great content and want to give her credit for all of these 5 points because they were very, very impactful on us. We just thought we should share those. So if we run them back, first one was cannot be your best without rest. Second one was rehearse from respect, not fear. Third one was your energy directly impacts the room. Number four was stress is part of being human. And number five, very simply, you matter.
So thank you, Lauren Richie, for this awesome content for today. And like Jake said, definitely check her out. She has great videos and written content, all sorts of wonderful things for dancers, parents, everyone in this little world of ours.
Yep. So we hope that helped and that was as impactful or as insightful to you as it was to us. And we will look forward to speaking with you next week. But until then, we hope you have a great week and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, guys.